of this world. For your peace inside my soul, I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll train the troubles of this world. For your peace inside my soul, I'm finding there's freedom when I lay it on your shoulders. Oh, I'm finding there's freedom when I lay it on your shoulders. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you.
Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the miracles that took place this week in your name. We thank you, Father, for bringing us together today. For your spirit that gives us strength, that gives us calm, and Lord, also that gives us life. We give you praise. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Isn't the Lord good? Give him a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Praise you, Jesus. Isn't it wonderful to come into the house of the Lord with family and to worship him together in unity? I just love standing in the midst of God's people, whoever they are, but especially my folks. But I love standing together, worshiping, and feeling the Holy Spirit just blanket us with his love. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. We're so glad that you came today. We're so glad that you're here. And I want to share a scripture that just spoke to my heart this week. How many of you are worriers? Let's be honest. There are times that it overtakes all of us, am I right? But some of us are more apt to it. And we know what worry is, don't we? Worry is fear in technicolor. If you allow that worry to just get in there just a itty bit, it will cost you a night's sleep and a good day. It will, because in a matter of 3 to 4 minutes, there is a vivid, colored action movie in your mind of what could or might happen. Am I right? Is it just me? I didn't think so. So I want to read this scripture to you. Because a small amount of fear can easily get full-blown feature movie in your mind. The scripture's from Matthew 6, 30 to 32. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Aren't you so glad that you serve a God who knows your needs? Even before you ask, He knows your needs. So when you're laying in bed and you're worrying and you're allowing that movie to just go forth in your mind, stop it and say, oh no, oh no, I have a God who cares. I have a God who knows. I have a God who loves me, and I will not worry. If you're like me, you wake up in the middle of the night and you're praying for your grown children and you're praying for your growing grandchildren and you're praying for folks in your church that you know are going through difficult times. But when we pray and we ask the Lord to take care of those things, we're soon to drift off to sleep because we know we've brought those needs to the Father. Do you have needs today that need to be brought to the Father? Do you have those needs today that need brought to the Father? Yes, yes. Let's just pray today together jointly. Grab the hand of somebody beside you and let's pray together for these needs. Father, you already know our needs. Lord, you know those concerns that cross through our mind. You know those feelings, Father, that overtake us at times. But Lord, you know us well. We ask, Father, for the needs that are represented in these pews today. Lord, there are some people that have illness. Lord, we pray that you would just heal their bodies, Father. Touch their minds. Bring peace and calm through the situation. Father, Lord, for the financial needs that are represented, Lord, you know, Lord, already. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would work miracles in their finances. Lord, bring forth jobs that are needed. Bring forth understanding of bills and monthly duties and responsibilities. And Lord, allow wisdom in paying these things. Father, for children that are lost, that don't know you, that are running in fear, running looking for wholeness. And Lord, we know, Lord, that you can give them that wholeness. We know that in you we are made whole. Father, draw them to you and place people in their paths. It may not be us, Lord, but it may be someone else. Father, place people in their paths that will plant seeds, that will water those seeds. And Lord, that you will draw them to fruition, to your saving knowledge. Father, we thank you, Lord, today for all those represented here. We pray, Father, that you would just continue, Father, the work that you've already begun this morning in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Just wanted to remind you just briefly today of tonight's carnival. So everybody is bringing in their candies today, their prizes today for Pastor Miranda and the team to use tonight. But tonight is from 4 to 6 p.m. And it's a drive-through, but there's going to be games. I don't know how that works, but it'll be fun. And snacks and prizes and lots of fun right from a person's car. If you didn't get one of these, grab a couple, share it with your neighbor who has kids. The kids will enjoy the availability of the snack bags and the things that are going to be available to them tonight. So make sure you bring your grandkids out, folks, and your kids. And we look forward to having a great time together. Also, for the ladies, your tickets are ready for the Winter Wonders Gala. Friday, December the 3rd. So you have a little while left, but you don't want to miss out on the tickets. Starts at 6:30, so there's plenty of time for you to leave work, Put on a little lip gloss and get here. It's going to be a wonderful catered meal. It's going to be lots of fun with wonderful caroling, Christmas caroling. We're going to get ready for the holidays together. Some of y'all, I hear, are already ready with your trees up. That's all right. This year we may need a little extra celebrating, right? But we definitely want to celebrate our King who was born in a manger that went through so much on earth for us to give us that eternal life. So let's come together, ladies, for Winter Wonders. At this time, we're going to ask that you bring your tithes and offerings. There's buckets across the front. There's a couple of buckets in the rear for whatever's convenient for you today.
Praise the Lord. As you're giving today, let me just say this. Thank you, Pastor Joy, for leading us in prayer. Prayer for God's people, his needs to be met. Reminders that there are those times when you get to replace your worry with amazing opportunity to intercede. I live with that all my 40 years of marriage. Pastor Joy is not a sleeper. When you're sleeping, she's praying a lot of times. I ask her every day of my life, I still do, hey, did you sleep well? She said, no, I didn't. I said, what kept you up? She said, I was praying. So I've just come to the reality that God's called some of us to sleep and some of us to pray. Come on, amen. Give the Lord praise. That's a good place to give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. You know, and God answers prayer, doesn't he? God answers prayer. And so I petition you to keep praying for people that you've been praying for. And because God hears you when you pray. And prayer changes things. You know, it sounds like a phrase, sounds like a cliche, but prayer changes things. I'm convinced that in my life, I'm the product of some of my ancestors who just refuse to allow the Phillips family just to live, and some of them go to hell. In fact, I was told that there was an old saint, Nana Maud, Joy remembers her, that she was snuck up on by one of our family members, and she was screaming out, dear God, don't let a drop of Phillips blood go to hell. And she was praying, and she prayed fervently that God would, you know, save us and raise up ministers. And, you know, God answers prayer. God answers prayer because Mike Cordera is here today. Come on, Mike, stand up, man. Stand up. Listen, this man was so close. Come on, shout. That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So close to death's door. So close to death's door. And God raised him up. Amen. Come on, Lord. Come on. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for raising Mike Cordera up. We love you, man. So glad you're here today. So glad you're here today. Keep praying for Barron, would you? I know many people are. We see it online. But keep praying for Barron. He's transitioning and positively moving forward every day. And God is still working from his throne to Barron Chamblee's life. Would you keep praying for Barron today? Come on. Keep praying. The Bible says if one can put 1,000 to flight, what happens? Two can put 10,000 to flight. And we believe in total restoration and total healing. In Jesus' name, amen. God is so good. So take your petitions to the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Joy, for just reminding us of the power of prayer. I'm excited about the message today. I'm excited about what God's doing in me. I really am. I'm gonna ask you to pray for me because I'm examining my own life. I'm examining my own life. You say, I thought everything was okay between you and God. It is. But I'm 60 years old, okay? And I just read just this past week about the most productive years of a human's life. Did you know where they are? Anybody care to guess? Between 60 and 80. Okay. So woo! Woo. I'm getting excited. Come on, somebody. Come on, I'm getting excited. And I've been examining my life. I've been watching myself. Amen. And I've asked the Lord to help me to go to a new place in Him. And I believe that it's already begun. Amen. I believe it's already begun. And so I'm excited to preach to you today from this series, Faith for Where We're Going. Man, I just wish this place was packed out like a sardine can. I do. But you know what? You're here because you're here. And then if you do your job, next Sunday there'll be more people here. Amen. But if you don't, then we'll just still have empty seats. Amen. So let's go to work. Amen. Let's go to work. Let's go to work and bring some people out of a place of complacency or maybe non-care or heedlessness. And let's see God just fill this house up in these next few weeks and months. I'm going to preach the heart of God, what I believe. I've believed for many months now that I'd be preaching some messages that, you know, have some serious tones to them. And I've asked God to help me. And I've got help from other people, other sources. I've been concurred with other sources to help me. Hey, talk to me about what you feel is happening in the earth today. And I've got cell phones for people that you'd be surprised. Amen. Because God's been good to me. And so today I want to speak to you a message that I've entitled, Wake Up and Smell the Coffee. Okay? Wake up and smell the coffee. Wake up and smell the coffee. Father, I thank you for this team today that has led us in worship. I thank you for the people of God who are assembled here. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your blessing, your divine favor resting upon this house and this ministry. Father, give us wisdom. Help me to be effective in this next season of my life. Thank you for changing me. Thank you for making a better version of me. Thank you for just doing things, Lord, that I didn't even realize needed to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Wake up and smell the coffee. Last week we jumped into a series that'll take us on a journey in these next few weeks on a close look at the challenges of today's world and where it's swiftly taking us. And I titled the series, Faith for Where We're Going. And in the message last week, I spoke on confusion. I've even had people to call me this week and ask me, was I doing okay? Praise the Lord. I don't know if you thought I was mentally deranged or what. I don't know. But anyway, thanks for the calls. Yeah. Somebody said, I saw him today. He looks all right. So, maybe you missed what I was saying. I believe what happened to me was a spiritual attack. Amen. And so I just checked out for about 5 days. You can ask my wife. I was okay. But I just chose to be still. Psalm 46. Amen. Be still and know that I'm God. And I just chose to allow the Lord to just help me in that season. And I came out of it. And I believe that God allowed it because I believe God's in control of my life. And I believe He allowed it for a good reason. Amen. And I tried to establish in that message the whys of where we are today. It was a firm message. I've heard from people all over the world. I had a lady from Florida to contact me. And she said, Pastor Phillips, I listened to your message 3 times in a row one day. I went back and I listened to it again and again and again. And I was very critical about my message last week. I really was. Because I'm examining me. I listened to it probably 6 times. I wrote it down. I received it from God. I know it now. I could start preaching that message right now because it's in my head and in my heart. But it was a backdrop for where we're going. We live in a very confused age. Somebody please say confused. We live in a very confused age. Isaac Maxwell, bless you, my brother, sent me a text message this week stating that he was encouraged, and he said, the probable mention of the name of the social media giant Facebook that I talked about last week could possibly change. He texted me one day and he said, Pastor, what you said was true. They changed it. So Facebook now, even though you will probably stare at the big F and the blue and the white for a long time, It's now called Metaverse. And that has that has some deep implications. Metaverse. Stay with me on the screen there if you would. I got some extra stuff up there. It's called Metaverse. Can you get that up there? It's got to be in there somewhere because I did it. Amen? Lord, help our technology today. Praise the Lord. Well, you might stare at that for a long time, but it's going to change, and it has significant meaning in its change. And several months ago, I was in Seattle with my son, and my son is a worship pastor for a church that there called International Worship Center, and he does a great job there. I've enjoyed being there a couple of times on different occasions, preaching and visiting them. And one time he said, "Dad, I want you to go with me to my office." He works a job outside of ministry as well. He works for a major innovation company. Now, innovation means new things. There we go. Innovation means new things. So you may see the F for a while, but coming down the system is the new metaverse. And metaverse desires to take you to a very serious, up-close, and personal interchange with people all over the world by the mere something as simple as your own glasses, okay? While I was with Joshua took me to his office one day, which is not impressive. Not impressive at all to look at. It was like the office area when you walk in is really nice, but it's just a facade. Because once you just talk to an executive and have a cup of coffee and all that stuff, behind it is just an empty room. I mean, can you imagine with me for just a moment an empty building that has just been built, nothing's in it, cement on the floor and walls. Are you with me? Just a room. And he said, "Come on back here, Dad, I'll show you a few things." And I walked in, I thought, wow, that's a big room. I thought, are y'all just getting it done? He said, "No, it's finished. This is where we work." And I said, "Joshua, what do you do here? I mean, there's nothing in here." He said, "Exactly right, until you put that pair of glasses on hanging over on the wall." So I walked over, and he said, "Here, put these on." He said, "Have you ever wanted to go somewhere and maybe on a vacation or something?" I said, "Yeah, I'd love to go to the Swiss Alps." He said, "No problem, put these glasses on." And he said, "Just stand in the middle of the room." And I put the glasses on. And he said, "You ready?" I said, he said, "What kind of house do you want to stay in while you're in the Alps?" I said, "How about a beautiful log cabin? Small one, big one?" I said, "Big one." He said, "Okay. All right, put the glasses on." And in an instant, I was in Switzerland, and I was walking around the house. He said, "Go ahead, feel free to walk around. Now, Bidji, where did I tell you I was?" In the middle of an empty room. And I walked around the house and I said, "Man, this is beautiful." He said, "Go ahead, check it out. Walk over by the fire." And I said, "Fire." And I looked, and in the corner there was the fireplace, beautiful fireplace. He said, "Go ahead, walk over." And I walked over to the fireplace. I'm just walking now in the room. And I walked up to the fire. The flames were flickering. And I said, "Question. Can I?" He said, "Go ahead, Dad, warm your hands, touch the fire. It's not going to hurt you." So I just put my hands right into the flame, and of course, nothing happened. But James, it was as real can be, minus heat and minus hot, okay, minus fire. And I walked around that room. He said, "Check out the bathrooms in this house." And I walked through the house. He said, "Dad, you could use this, because if you're showing somebody a house, you'd never really have to go there. You mail them the glasses, let them take a look at it. Let them walk through it. They can walk in every room." And I said, "Man, this house is beautiful. Nice furniture, well decorated." He said, "Now step on the porch and look outside." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, go outside." And I stepped outside and I stared at the mountain range and the Swiss Alps. "Anywhere else you want to go, Dad?" I said, "No, that's enough." Took those glasses off and thought, wow, there I'm standing now in a metal building, totally empty. metaverse is getting ready to take you on a journey where you can have really up close and personal relationships with people all over the world and just put your glasses on. That's it. Technology's there. They're working with it. Matter of fact, Josh was in Florida a couple of weeks ago installing a high-dollar gaming system called Laser Tag. How many of you guys have been in that Laser Tag? In Orlando, Florida, in a small room where people just pay at the door, go inside, and go on the battle of their life in an empty building. Okay? So, you know, just had to get it right. Took a week to install it. It's all wires. It's all, you know, just plugs. And, of course, glasses. Okay? Everything's got to be just right. Did you know that NFL teams, Major League Baseball teams are doing training with hologram lenses? They're letting batters practice. They're letting pitchers pitch by just putting on glasses. Isn't that crazy? In other words, this world is swiftly moving so fast. No, the fire in that house that I saw was not real, nor was the home even real. But I tell you what is real. The prophetic truths of God's word are absolutely real. And they're coming to pass right in front of your very eyes. Brother Maxwell went on to tell me in the text, and I so appreciated it. He said, quote, "I hope the people are listening to what you're saying, Pastor, and not just hearing another good sermon." He said, "We as Christians must be aware and prepared. Not fearful," he said, "but prepared for their future. Christ is coming. Be blessed, Pastor." Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. That was an encouraging word. I get all kinds of messages in every week of my life. Some of them are worth reading, some of them are not. But I receive all kinds of messages. That was one of the top ones that made my week a little special this week. And yes, we must prepare. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 24. Check it out. As it was, now he's going to go on a journey to comparison in this text. I've read this text 100 times or more, I'm sure, in my life, as you well have too. But check this out. He says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man." So listen, watch out now. Jesus is getting ready to speak, but the backdrop of his message to us is a point A, the days of Noah, and a point B, when Jesus was walking on the earth. Okay? So he's doing a comparison. He said, "For in the days of Noah," he's going back now, "before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away." And then he says, I want to take a breath right here. And then he says, "That's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." Did you know that today people are eating and drinking a lot? Okay. Today people are marrying and giving in marriage. I've had 2 weddings 2 weeks in a row. Congratulations. Congratulations, guys. Stand up right back there right quick. There's a married couple right there. I've had 2 weddings. You say, "Where's the other couple?" I married them Saturday. You know where they are. They're on their honeymoon, okay? People were marrying, they were giving in marriage up until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Can I submit to you that there's a lot of people on planet Earth here right now? They know nothing about what is getting ready to happen to them until it happens, until it's, come on, help me here, it's too late. Thank you. That's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus goes on to say, verse 40. He says, "Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day our Lord will come." But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. Let me just stop right there and tell you, there are so many theological perspectives wrapped up in that little phrase right there. I mean, all kinds of possibilities. So you must be ready, he says, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is faithful and wise servant? That's a great question. Whom the master has put in charge of his servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time. It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. In other words, we need to be living for Christ here. Because when he returns, you want to make sure you are living for Christ. You don't want to be in and out. I told someone just a week or so ago, listen, no more games, man. No more in and out, okay? You gotta sell out completely. You got to keep your hand to the plow, because he says also in the word, he that takes his hands off the plow and looks back is not worthy to go into his kingdom. Okay? You see, we've been sitting under theological teaching here for many, many years that, oh, yeah, you know, once you're saved, man, you're just forever, forever, forever. You are, as long as you stay saved. Okay? Relationships can be broken. Okay? Relationship, you can walk into a relationship and walk out of them. Many of you know this. You've done that. Unfortunately, you've had to do that. So you know a relationship can be severed and a new one can begin. And so we just need to make sure we're good that that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly, verse 47, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, man, I don't know if Jesus is coming back or not. Suppose he says to himself, the master is staying away a long time. And then he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him. And in an hour that he's not aware of, he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place, wow, with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus begins here with a comparison, a biblical comparison that is recorded in the Old Testament, a comparison of what it was like on the earth in the days of Noah. He goes back to Genesis chapter 6. Let's read it together. Verse number 5 and following. He says, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil at that time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I've created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And those of you who know that biblical story know that here's a man who begins telling people why he's doing what he's doing. He's building an ark for the saving of his household. He's building an ark for safety. God had instructed Noah. Noah preached this message, and it is a comparative here that Jesus is making between the people in Noah's day and the people of Jesus' day, and can I say it a little bit further, and the people of our day. Come on. Okay? Because people are very busy. I told you last week, they're very busy, and people are all about themselves. Okay? I mean, you can't stump your toe without showing everybody. You can't go in the hospital. We're looking at you in a hospital robe. Because people they want to be affirmed and get attention and all that stuff. Put your phone away when you're in the hospital. Or just read the Bible, okay? But don't show everybody everything. That's private. Did you know that my wife and I have had surgery about 5 or 6 times and none of you ever knew it? Did you know I was in the hospital 2 years ago for 5 days? No, you didn't know that. Why? Because it's personal. What were you in there for? You don't need to worry about that. I'm okay today. Okay, you know? Okay? But I was in the hospital for 5 days. Okay? But I didn't get on, oh, here I am. Mm-mm. Let's just spend our compassions and our energy and our time and our resources sending all those messages to the Father. Can we do that? Okay? Not poor, pitiful me. Okay? Now, if other people want to share that about you, let them do it. Hey, please pray for Pastor Wallace. He's having a procedure. That's okay. Can I just give you a few little teachings here from time to time that hopefully will help you? People are into themselves. The New Testament, Paul tells Timothy that in the last days we'll be full of that kind of thing. Welcome to the last days. Amen? We're here in this narrative, and the Lord is giving us these indicators that there's a comparison between the Noah days and the Jesus days and now our days. And Noah was on the earth, and in chapter 6, Noah preaches this sermon for 120 years, encouraging people to get on board, you know, for the saving of your household. And he was able to, even in the midst of lining up, hey, come here, come on, hey, hippopotamus, I need you, male, female, come on, hip, over here, elephant, come on, bud, oh, come on, two by two. And still people were laughing at him. Still people had categorized him as very confused, okay? This man's messed up, 120 years he's preaching this message. And they just did not listen. And the Bible says there came a day when the Lord God shut the door. Can I just tell you something? There's coming a day on this earth when the Lord God is going to once again. He said so, okay? As it was in the days of Noah. And he's coming back. And it would behoove us to be ready and to make sure that those persons that we love are ready. And to make sure that all persons are ready, whether you love them or not, okay? Just make sure people are ready. Make sure your friends are ready. Make sure your family's ready. Noah preaches this message for 120 years, the purpose of this gigantic boat, and nobody listened. They didn't listen then, and guess what? They don't listen now. They didn't prepare then, and guess what? Some of them are not prepared now. There's a deep sense of heedlessness, not paying attention, lack of concern. People have a tendency to go with the flow. In many situations, they simply just take what comes down the system. Last week, I referenced my time of study in Israel at the International School of Holocaust Studies. I vividly remember viewing old black and white pictures from that period, from the 30s and the 40s, I viewed pictures like that where people, innocent people, just little kids, moms, you know, these are all people that are Jewish and they're standing in lines because they've been told that this is the way you should go. Go this way. We're going to be, what are we doing? I'm not really sure, but they're going to take us somewhere where we can get some, you know, we're going to have all the stuff that we need. Oh, really? They're going to take you that way. And they were corralled in livestock manner to a place of uncertainty. And some were carted off to concentration camps. And some ultimately sent to their demise as they walked into. I saw very graphic pictures of naked human beings that had been, their clothes had been stripped once they got to where they were taken. And they walked into gigantic rooms with shower heads that came on. And in just a moment, all of those bodies just fell to the ground. They were poisoned. And then they come in, as I told you last week, with pliers, and they snatch out gold teeth, dental work, because there's some value to that. There's no value to you, but there's some value to the gold you got in your mouth. And they would do away with all that. And then place these human beings in large incinerators and take them back to dust. The most, oh wow, one of the most emotional times of my life. I wept for days, you know, after I talked to my wife on the phone and she said, how'd it go today? And sometimes I was speechless. I couldn't talk because it was such an emotional time. They were led like sheep to the slaughter. they were in livestock manor, just corralled to certain places. And the hatred of German leader Adolf Hitler infiltrated the earth, and he manifested ultimate, here we go, control. And you think, man, how did this happen in like not so long ago? Some of these people are still alive, as I told you last week. Now all of them are in their 90s, but they're still alive. This happened. And the reason he had such a hatred for the Jewish people, because there were two real important elements that shaped the entirety of the world. And that is, they hated the fact that the Jewish people brought forth the book. The Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And they also hated that from that wonderful Jewish line came the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Christ the Messiah. Peter said, I say you're the Christ. The word in the Greek language was what? Christos. The Messiah, the anointed one of God. That group of people, the Jews, brought forth the book and the Messiah, which they hated. They hated Christianity. They hated the Jewishness. They hated everything. They started to manifest such hatred. And the hatred of German leader Adolf Hitler infiltrated the earth, and he had his ultimate control. And just a matter, once he was in office as the leader, just a matter of weeks, not months, weeks, he fashioned what was called the enabling bill that put him there forever. Okay? There's a lot going on in politics today. You don't really know what's going on. I don't really know what's going on. Hitler led his Nazi party in what was known as the Holocaust, the slaughter of 6 million Jewish people. And we highlighted the reasons why all that happened. And as you study that phenomenon of the past, you see, here we go, a societal takeover, a mindset. It was actually fueled by a mindset. I just described it to you, why it happened. It's a mindset, an influence, a manipulation, if you will. This is not new. The Holocaust was not an invented idea that found its roots in Hitler. It had been there all along. That hatred had been there all along. It had existed in what's called socialism. Socialism. That you can class people and that you can treat people a certain way. It has existed all along. It's an ideology that steals, listen, it steals God-given resources that the Creator, Almighty God, gave you and gave you as His creation. And rather than enjoy, here we go, a free culture and a free society where God's people get to, come on, enjoy their land, their resources, their farms, their factories, because God gave this to us, and there's biblical proof that God wants you to live off this earth that He's given you. And you know, you got people that pay attention today to what they eat, and they only eat organic, and you got people who, you know, won't buy the 99-cent eggs. They only want, you know, the farm raised. They won't buy the chicken just because it's a dollar and a quarter a pound. They've got to have that $4.59 a pound chicken because it's the healthy chicken, okay? What do you eat, Pastor? Try to eat the healthy chicken, okay? That's why we got a fat America today, because we've just been eating the cheapest. Some of y'all going to check out on me here, okay? You going to check out? Oh, I ain't paying that. Well, you know, you get what you eat. You are what you eat, okay? And so you try to pay attention to those things. It's a socialistic society that will demand, this is what you're going to have. This is what you're going to be able to purchase. This is what your money will buy. And everybody's going to be making the same thing. We talked about that last week. Let me be totally honest with you. That spirit steals your right for your God-given resources. Okay? And your rights are being infringed on. Amen? Your rights are being infringed on. You're being told what you must do or what you can do or what you can't do. That influence is shaped and it trickles down from above from somebody who has a whole lot more power than you do. Yesterday, Pastor Joy was just reading, sharing with me something that she was reading. She said, oh, listen to this. She said, there's a Christian, she started reading it and she was sharing it as she read. It's a Christian Bible study. It's going to take the form of a cruise in 2022. And Christian author and speaker, and she was calling names of who was going to be there teaching from their book. And the cruise line had already advertised, this is for non-vaccinated travelers only. So if you haven't had the vaccine, get off my boat. Okay? So do you see, separation's already been made. It's tightening up. Okay? You can't. I told you in Seattle now, October 24th, you can't go in the grocery store unless you can pull out your wallet and prove that you did have all the levels of the vaccine. Okay? Can't go in the grocery store. You can buy stuff right now, and you must pick it up at the curbside as somebody delivers it to you. Pay for it on your phone. We'll meet you in the parking lot. Okay? Can't go anywhere. Can't go in the restaurant and eat. Can't go in the bank and do business. You can't do any of that stuff because you are not in our group. Okay? So this is talking about control. You're experiencing the influences of that same spirit. Because how many of you know you survived thus far with all kinds of vaccines? I remember as a kid standing in line at school and you just held your arm out there, you know, same needle, same gun, they never changed. You. Boop, 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 they just shot everybody. Okay, remember? Come on. Remember, and then after a few days, you got a little circle that you live your life with. Why? Because you took the shot. I'm not anti-vaccine. I've had several vaccinations. I got a record to prove it. You have a right to do what you want to, but I'm telling you, your government is stepping in, and they're going to tell you at some point that you don't have a right to choose what you want to. Okay? Hear what I'm saying. You don't have a right. That is socialism. That is socialism, when the government tries to control. Okay? Socialism has characteristics that are married to Marxism. Okay? They're married to Marxism. They came from the teachings of a man in the 1800s by the name of Karl Marx, a demonized hater of God. He was in the 1800s and he was buried when he died. His choice was to be buried in the Highgate Cemetery in the center of Satanism for all of Europe. That's where he wanted to be buried. Socialism is, number one, anti-God. It says that Christianity, this is a quote, Christianity is nothing more than medieval mildew. That's what it says. I've been studying this stuff, man. I read it this week. Christianity is nothing more than medieval mildew. It is totalitarian. That says that the truth, here we go. Check this out after remembering something you heard on the news. It is totalitarian in its approach. It says that truth is whatever the rulers decide truth is. Okay? Okay. What they want you to know. And if they don't want you to know it, oh, that's a lie. Okay? That's totalitarian government. It's divisive. It divides people into classes and races, etc. Haves, haves not, bourgeoisie. It divides people all up. And it's deadly. The Holocaust is but an example. Germany killed 6 million people. And that sounds like crazy, man. But guess what? There's nations that have killed more. Amen. In the 20th century, Russia has killed 20 million people. In the 20th century, China has killed 65 million people. You know, in China, we want a big family. Our last name's Walton. Not going to happen. China had the one-child rule for a number of years, you know. Then they went to what? The two-child rule. If you were an only child, and chances are you were in our country, now you can have a second with permission. Okay? Don't even want to talk about what happens if you find out you're pregnant. And you know, what are you going to do now? We already have the child, or we already have two children. What are we going to do now? Oh, they can take care of that. It's just a life. China has killed 65 million people. Socialistic, communistic, here we go, governing. where it all trickles down from above. And let me just tell you today, history has shown us, hear me, that anti-God, totalitarian, divisive, deadly socialism results in this kind of long-term deadly destruction. This kind of influence and behavior brings confusion, like we talked about last week, and the kind of influence that we just really don't want to be a part of. That's why we have, here we go, historical monuments today that many of us have seen and heard about, read about in our school books, that are completely destroyed. Well, you say, well, yeah, it's easy for you to say that because you're Caucasian and you don't know what a lot of those things stood for. Before you throw me under the bus, let me just tell you, do some research on it. Martin Luther King, tremendous man of God who fought for equality. Have a beautiful, you ought to see it at night from a bus. Have a beautiful, beautiful memorial for Dr. Martin Luther King in Washington, D.C. When that was built, there were 50 additional ones erected all over the world because they valued the message that Dr. Martin Luther King preached. And you can look and discover where in those monuments, there have been many of them that they have gone by with a sledgehammer and or a piece of equipment and knocked the head off of the statue and thrown it out into the streets. Okay? So this is not a Caucasian battle. Okay, this is a history thing where it's a part of our history, and they've gone and they've just torn things all to pieces. Why? Because socialistic society does that kind of thing. They tear up monuments. They cancel culture. Heard that phrase? They cancel culture. Well, we used to do that, but we can't do that anymore. Okay, you can't call it a Christmas tree. You can call it a holiday tree. Because Christmas is, in our thinking, canceled, okay? So you can decorate a tree, but it's a holiday tree. By the way, you can't have Aunt Jemima's picture on the bottle. Use the syrup, but you can't have her picture on the bottle because we've canceled that. Okay? Nor the pancakes. Okay? Let me tell you something. I'd rather have Aunt Jemima's pancakes than any pancakes I know, okay? Mrs. Butterworth never did anything for me. Come on. But when I go to the shelf, I'm actually saddened that she's not there. Okay? But that's what socialism does. Okay? That's what socialism does. It controls and it cancers culture. Okay? The nuclear family is destroyed in China. They've already done this. They've been doing this for many years. Families are redefined. What is a family? It's certainly not what the Bible defines anymore. Redistribution of wealth. Everybody's going to make the same thing, and the rich get richer. This is socialism. And then you have to defund the police, okay? You have to take their money away. Wow. You have to just take their income away and do away with. We don't need that many officers. Wow. And we have more crime on the streets than we've ever had. And now they're being defunded. Can you even wonder why a man or a woman would even sign up today to be one? What a dangerous job. Amen? What a dangerous job. Crazy society. And about policing, this is what God says about it. They are God's minister to you for your good. Romans chapter 13, verse 4. They're God's minister to you for your good. Every law enforcement officer is serving because he's God's minister. She's God's minister for your good. This kind of behavior, this kind of governing catches up with the society and spreads and creates not just localized confusion, but global confusion, okay? Global confusion. This is the ideology that sets up the stage for the appearance of the Antichrist. This is the kind of behavior. This is where we're heading. It is setting up the stage for a leader to emerge and say, wow, there's no need to worry about all this. I got this, okay? In other words, this will be the political philosophy. Hear me, don't miss this. This will be the political philosophy that will be very evident on the earth when the tribulation begins. It'll be all over the earth. Revelation 13, 1 to 3, in its figurative language says this. It says, then I saw a, check this out, a beast rising up out of the sea. It had seven heads and 10 horns and 10 crowns on its horns. And written on each head were the names that blasphemed God. This beast looked like a leopard, but it had feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave the beast his own power and throne and great authority. And I saw one of the heads of the beast seem wounded beyond recovery, but the fatal wound was healed. And check this out. The whole world at this miracle, they marveled. And what did they do? They gave allegiance to this Antichrist. I said the whole world. Think about this for a moment. The entire world under one leader. We're not talking about the mayor of Ahoski or the governor of North Carolina or the president of the United States. We're talking about the leader of the world that makes the rules and the statutes and the principles whereby you live your life by, if you're on the earth at that time. He's an antichrist. You have to buy and sell. You have to have his mark, okay? We'll get to that in later messages. Technology is already there. They're already capable. It's already there. And this, notice here what John the Apostle says in verse number 3. The whole world marveled and gave allegiance to the beast. The whole world did what? Marveled. Okay? I remember years ago when Saddam Hussein was an issue. And people were coming and asking me, do you think Saddam Hussein is Antichrist? I said, absolutely not. They said, why would you say that so quickly? I said, because the Antichrist is not a mean man. Okay? The Antichrist comes with one message. Okay? He's not coming at, I'm going to do away with you and I'm killing people. No. He might do away with you, but he's coming and his message on his tongue is going to be one of tremendous peace. I got this. Don't worry about the... Can you imagine when the rapture takes place how confusing it's going to be? I mean, half the workers are gone. The cars are wrecking. People, what's happening? Planes are crashing. There's going to be tremendous confusion, but he will emerge and say unto the world, he's coming on CNN tonight, Fox News, whoever's left, here's a latest bulletin. John Doe has stepped up to the plate, okay? And he's ready. He's ready to do what? Lead. Because he's the Antichrist. Drop down to Revelation chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. And the beast was allowed to wage war. Oh, wow. The beast was allowed to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And he was given authority to rule over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all the people who belonged to this world worshiped the beast. They are the ones. Check this out now. This will just put the icing on the cake. They are the ones whose names were not written in the book of life. When I go back, who's they? They that are worshiping this cat, okay? They that are showing allegiance to him. They were the ones whose names were not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made. They're the ones. In other words, my friends, the Bible, the Word of God declares that there's coming a day when a single leader will take over the entire world. We're not talking about that governor. We're not talking about that president. We're talking about the big guy who will rule over all the world and the whole world will worship him. And it goes on to tell us that the ones who are doing the worship, as I said earlier, are not the ones whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Where are they? They're gone. Okay? They're gone. And so here we are right back to the reality that there truly is coming a day when the righteous of the earth will vanish. There will be a cataclysmic event, a catching away, a rapture, if you will. Matthew 24, our open text for today. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken. Two women grinding at the handmill, one taken, the other left. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself, I love this translation, the NLT. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. John the Revelator, who is exiled on the island of Patmos, a rocky island, he's shown the future. He sees this as the glorified Christ. He tells them in Revelation chapter 4, you know, most of us can handle Revelation 1, 2, and 3. That's easy study. But in Revelation 4, there's a gear that is shifted. And then as I look, the Bible says, here's verse 1, I saw a door standing open. Where's the door? If the door is up there. It's a huge door. The door is standing open in heaven. This is God revealing this to John the apostle. Boiled in a pot of oil, he's on Patmos, a 4-mile rocky island, suffering for the cause of Christ. And he looks up, and the message says, hey, come up here. You know what that is? That's the revelation of the rapture. Hey, come up here. The church is taken away from the earth. And I will show you, the Lord says to him, what must take place after this. This is what Revelation is. Revelation is the pulling back of the curtain. Let the curtain come open and let me show John. Let me reveal in my book of Revelation. Got it? Let me reveal to you, John, what is to come. Okay? I'm so glad to be a Christian today. Come on, give the Lord praise today. I'm so glad to be a Christian. I'm so glad I know that already my name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that I don't have to worry about all of these happenings. You know, these crazy phone calls I get back. I got to ask you a question. People are frantic. People are afraid because they don't have peace. And you and I are called to be ready. It's time that all of us wake up, smell the coffee here, okay? See it right in front of your eyes. We must do all that we can to make sure our families are ready. We must see that our friends are ready. We must just recognize that once we come to Jesus, we're called into the ministry, every one of us, of getting people ready. The global pandemic, listen to this, the global pandemic brought us so close to the very end. It's not funny. This is not, COVID-19 is not something that hit a husky or North Carolina or the U.S. or the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. COVID hit the nations of the world. Okay? It's everywhere. And some are struggling far worse than others. We're seeing the fulfillment of God's prophetic word right in front of our eyes. So you and I as believers are called by him to know his word and live his word. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said this, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. For where we are and for where we're going, you must have faith. You must have faith, not rooted in a government, not dependent on a system, but rooted in the life, the teachings, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you smell the coffee today? Come on. That's him. That's his. That's the answer. That's the answer. As we come to a close today, let me read you one more time. Let me read you that text, a powerful text as our musicians come. Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women grinding with a handmill, one taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would have not have let his house be broken in. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and the wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, Jesus said, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time, and then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and to drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he's not aware of, he will cut him into pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Last Sunday we had the joy. In fact, for weeks we've had people come to Jesus in this house. For weeks we've had people, those of you that are watching online, that have made commitments to Christ. We've had messages from people. Thank you for what your church is doing. Someone received Christ today. We have reports from John Rachel, from King Television, that Carpenter Shop Church, Carpenter Shop International Church, is weekly experiencing salvations all over the world, 182 nations. People are coming to Jesus. Amen. So today, my friend, it's no different. If you're listening on this program today, if you're watching this service today, and you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I just tell you, turn to him today. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Number two, to wash you clean with his blood. Number three, to come into your heart and to live there forever. Confess your sins, the Bible says. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Last Sunday, we had two young men to come and give their hearts to Jesus. Can I tell you something? You know where they were yesterday? They were some of the first ones there at the men's ministries meeting. We had 11 yesterday. Emotional time, spiritual time, powerful time. Those two men that came to Jesus last Sunday were in the men's meeting yesterday. Amen. So if you're here today, Pastor, pray for me. I just want to make sure that everything is right. If you're here today and you need to do that, would you just simply stand to your feet right where you are? We're not here to embarrass anyone. We just want to pray with you. God bless you, dear. Is there another? God bless you. If you're here, stand right where you are. Stand right where you are. Someone's going to come over in just a moment and pray with you. Just stand up. That's all you have to do. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. People are coming to Jesus. Come on, ministers. Go to them. People are coming to Jesus this morning. Go ahead and step over to them. Amen. Just the Holy Ghost directed me this morning to do it this way. Come on. We got one, two, three standing. Make sure you got a minister of the gospel right there with you, giving their hearts to Jesus right now. Anyone else? You want to give your life to Christ today? If you're online, just hit it on the Facebook. Just hit it. I'm giving my life to Christ today. Come on, just hit it. Just go ahead and put the message right down there in the feed. People are coming to Jesus. Father, I pray that you would forgive us of our sins today. That you would wash us clean today. That you would receive us today. We receive you, Lord, into our hearts afresh and anew. We ask you, God, to forgive us of our sins. Wash us, cleanse us with your blood. In Jesus' powerful name. Amen and amen. If you have special needs, come on. If you have a special need in your life, maybe you need prayer, maybe you need encouragement, maybe you need someone to agree with you for healing in your body, would you just come and stand across the front here this morning? We're going to have someone to pray with you today and encourage you. Amen. We're going to have someone just to believe with you and love on you for just a moment. Come on, everybody stand this morning. If you need special prayer, please come right now. Leave your place. Come on down to the altar. Someone will meet you here and pray with you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There you go. Elders are coming. People are coming to pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. That's right, come on. Come on, bring your needs to the Lord today. Get into the waters while they're troubled today. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we lift up our community today. We ask you for blessing, safety, peace on this campus today. No confusion. No person shall try any confusing thing today. We just thank you, God, that we can bless the kids tonight. In Jesus' name, be with Pastor Miranda, be with Pastor Gary, be with their volunteer staff today as they love on children today, as they love on families today. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. If you have a special need, just come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let him move in your midst today, church. Let him move. You have something you're praying about. Maybe God's not moved on it the way you thought that he was. You just need somebody to agree with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Mike. Mike and Mike. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you need prayer, come, guys. Don't miss out. Go ahead, sing it, worship team. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you. shadow, you are light up. Mountain, you are climb up. All across the room.
Thank you, Father, for being here with us, Lord. Father, thank you for the anointing of the pastor speaking to us, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we can take that message home with us. We can share it with our families. We can share it, Father, with our friends and neighbors, Lord, Father, because we know you are coming soon. We know for a fact you will be here soon, Father. And we thank you, Father. Give us traveling grace as we leave this sanctuary, as we leave your church, Father. Thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Bring more back next week. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.